Hey mama, I want to invite you to something. I am hosting a free anger management bootcamp on the podcast May 13th through the 17th. Monday through Friday, there will be a new episode released teaching you where anger comes from and what goes on in your brain when you feel intense feelings, how to lower your stress and increase capacity levels as a mom, how to shift your mindset to align your actions with the mom that you want to be, and how to break generational anger patterns. Subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss a day and sign up using the link in the show notes so you can get access to the episodes as soon as they drop and an email summary of the daily trainings, as well as access to a live Q&A call on the last day of the bootcamp. Invite one or three of your mama friends so they can learn how to manage their emotions well too. Link to sign up is in the show notes. I can't wait to see you in there. Let's get back into this podcast episode. Hey mama, welcome back to another episode of Emotionally Healthy Legacy. In today's episode, I'm doing a crossover podcast recording with Rachel, who is a postpartum doula, and we'll be talking about my birth story because I had 2 C-sections and 2 home births. We'll be talking about ways that you can support yourself proactively as a mom who is pregnant to reduce your mental stress, and then several tips that Rachel gives about postpartum, things that you can do to lower your stress hormones so you're less reactive. Yes, we're going to have emotional roller coasters, and we also touch on hormonal shifts postpartum. So if you are pregnant or newly had a baby, then this episode is for you.
Hey everyone, I'm Rachel Manns.
And I'm Elizabeth Andrievsky.
And this is our crossover podcast, which is going to be a lot of fun. We're going to talk about emotional health in this episode during pregnancy and postpartum specifically. So I'm with the Natural Birth Talk. I'm a birth doula and a childbirth educator. The main focus of my podcast is natural birth, natural pregnancy, and natural postpartum. And this episode is going to be a lot of fun today. I'll let Elizabeth introduce her end.
Yeah, and I am Elizabeth. I am a stress coach for moms. I teach moms stress management proactively and also regulating emotions in the heat of the moment so you can respond with patience and calm with your kids. So that's kind of like my goal. That's what I help moms with. And actually, I've had 2 natural births and I've had 2 C-sections. And I have an interesting story. My first and my last were C-sections, and my 2 in the middle were home births. So,
wow, what a difference.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I'm kind of interested if you don't mind sharing your story.
Yeah, I can share my story. So my first one, it was a first-time mom 10 years ago. So, went into the hospital, had the idea of having a natural birth, and kind of backfired. Things got involved, had Pitocin, had epidural. Things did not progress, and it was just a C-section because failure to progress.
That term is one of my least favorite terms.
Yeah, and like when they already said, oh, okay, we'll do C-section, that's when I actually started to feel a ton of pressure. I felt like I had like a watermelon coming out. But because I was a first-time mom, didn't really say anything.
And it You didn't know.
I didn't know. And so I had a C-section. And then I came across the documentary, The Business of Being Born.
Yeah, love that one.
Yes, before I got pregnant with my second one. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I totally want to have a home birth. And I was so excited about it. And I had a home birth. And
that's amazing.
Yes. And I had a much bigger baby. So the first one was 7'7". The other one was 8'3".
Oh, and my most recent baby was a home birth and was 8'3".
Yeah. Everything went fine until the baby's head came out and then he got stuck. And they really struggled getting him out. Really, really struggled. And they did get him out, but it was challenging.
Yeah.
And so I had 2 midwives that were present. And I asked them on a scale of 0 to 10, like 10, we cannot get the baby out. How bad was he stuck? And they're like, a 7. So he was stuck,
Severely.
And so when I got, but the rest of the birth went like amazing and great.
Yeah.
And postpartum went great. Like, and I loved the whole experience of having birth at home, like,
yeah.
like going to sleep in my own bed. It was just amazing. And so when I got pregnant with my third, I was just going back and forth. I'm like,
yeah.
should I schedule a C-section? I don't want a C-section, but this was scary. What we experienced was scary. And I really wanted the whole home birth experience. I loved seeing midwives when I was pregnant. I just loved the whole journey. And, mm-hmm. and I was just deciding back and forth. And
yeah.
I think I was like 16 weeks along when I finally decided to do another home birth. And I finally yeah. saw a provider. Cause before that, I'm like, I didn't even see anybody. Cause I'm like, yeah. I don't know what to do. And so, and they were like, okay, we're just going to make sure like you don't like watch your diet. So your baby doesn't get too big. Maybe they thought like the baby's just a little big for my body. Cause I am a 4'11" and I'm
okay.
pretty petite. So they thought, okay, maybe just like a large baby. And so I was like really concerned, you know,
uh-huh.
and anxious about it. And also my husband was starting to be a flight attendant at that time. And he just finished his training. So I had two fears for my birth.
Yeah.
I had, what if my baby gets stuck again? What if my husband misses the birth?
Yeah.
I'm like, I know this is not like super exciting, but both of them happened for my
oh,
birth.
No.
Both my husband was, went on a, so they, my, I went into labor at 39 weeks and
mm-hmm.
he was in a different state and I went to labor at night in the middle of the night and he, there was no flights to get back home until early morning. And by the time he got home, he already missed it, missed the birth. And so so he didn't make it. And then I was really careful with my diet, not to eat too many carbs,
mm-hmm.
not to eat too many sweets, just so like the baby doesn't get too big since that's what
mm-hmm.
like, we thought maybe happened with the other one. And so my birth, like the progression kept like happening and it, I mean, I was in the pool again and then the head came out and I push and nothing happens.
Yeah.
I push again and nothing happens. I change position and nothing mm-hmm. happens. It got scary. The baby's head turned blue. It, the midwives, one of them is trying to pull him out as I'm standing and she's like, she's communicating to the midwife behind me who's holding me. She's like, I can't get him out. I can't get him out. Like
mm-hmm.
you, like, she's like, we need to switch. And I can see her face. It's been at least 5 minutes with his head, like sticking out like that and like pushing and not being able to pull him out. And somehow by the grace of God, like my mom was like in the room. She like walked away praying out loud, like, Lord, please
mm-hmm.
like let like the baby come out. And so they pulled him out and
yeah.
thankfully everything was okay. He was
yeah.
alive. He breathed, but it was so scary.
Yeah.
And, the midwives told me postpartum, like afterwards,
mm-hmm.
they said they've never experienced things that severely. And they did an internal pelvic exam, probably 9 months postpartum. And they said,
mm-hmm.
I have an abnormally shaped pelvis, which supposed to be more like oval when you look down and mine is like more squished and one side is smaller than the other. So when the baby's head comes out and they need to turn their shoulders,
mm-hmm.
like my babies literally get stuck inside the bone. So like they get stuck inside my pelvis and that's why they like, that's why like they, I push and the baby just
mm-hmm.
can't even get out. And so because it was so severe, they said that they would not do another home birth with me for
yeah.
their own liability.
Yeah.
And they said, if I have another baby, they would highly recommend doing a C-section, which
mm-hmm.
I was not really happy to hear that. And I was really
yeah.
like, I had to grieve that for a little bit because I really enjoyed having natural birth. And so that made
yeah.
me really, really sad. Though I had a really cool experience having my natural C-section, not natural C-section. I had a gentle C-section where
uh-huh.
they lowered the drape and I had sterile gloves on and I got
uh-huh.
to pull the baby out and put her on my chest.
That's
and that
awesome.
Happened this past July. And I totally stand by natural birth.
Uh-huh.
And I, like, if a mom can do it, if there's any like medical reason for her not to, like, I totally support that. Like I have all, like I have hypno babies. I have Inamae's
mm-hmm.
books. Like I like give them out to all my friends and like other moms who are pregnant. I'm like, do a natural birth if you can.
I want to talk about how like kind of the emotions and the stress levels and kind of what you did, you know, C-section versus home birth or like in the postpartum period, you know, did your birth affect how you were feeling in the postpartum period, or did the plan of your birth affect how you were feeling during pregnancy at all?
I think the first time, the fact that it didn't go as planned, mm-hmm. that really messed with me. I was really disappointed because by the time they took me to take a C-section, my epidural wasn't working anymore. They put me out completely. I did not see or hear the baby cry. I was like 2 hours later until I saw him, like my mother-in-law and sister-in-law held him before me. Like it was a lot of emotions that were really hard for me to process. Yeah. And I was really disappointed and I felt like a failure, obviously. Like I think a lot of moms struggle with that. Being like in my early 20s, it was hard. Uh-huh. I would say like I really struggled with the first one. I think that's why I was really passionate about doing things differently with my second one.
Yeah.
That's why I really, like I did all the exercises. I read all the books. I did a lot of prep. I did HypnoBabies. Like I did a lot of stuff to support myself to have a different experience. And besides the baby getting stuck, everything else went so great. My healing was so much better postpartum. I also did placenta encapsulation with the three other ones, three pregnancies. Not the first one because I didn't even know about it. I had a lot of emotional ups and downs postpartum with the first one. I think the birth was one of it. The other one, I think it's like not having the placentas. I think that really helped me.
Yeah.
Like being more, you know, like level. And so with the second one and the third, even though I had like, you know, the traumatic part of like the baby getting stuck, the actual postpartum and the healing went really, really well. Things just were way, way smoother. And I didn't have as many ups and downs. The placenta helped me have more energy and not be as just like so out of it and so exhausted. Even though I had other kids to manage. And so, with my C-section, my last one, I had my husband be home for about 2 weeks. So that was really helpful to take care of the other kids. Also took the placenta, so which helped me have more like emotionally be more level. And I had support. I asked for help. So that was like huge. I think help postpartum is like the biggest thing that can make a big difference. So
absolutely. I absolutely agree. Like, you know, support postpartum can make a huge difference. It can, you know, I think placentas are huge and so helpful and awesome for the majority of moms who try it. I know there are a few out there who say it makes things worse, but overall, you know, most moms definitely find it helpful. I know I definitely find it helpful. With my most recent home birth, my baby also had a small shoulder dystocia. Mine was much easier to resolve than yours were. I think part of that is just kind of me being a doula. My midwife actually did not make it to my recent home birth. It was so fast. Yeah, it was crazy, but being a doula, I just kind of knew like, okay, I can feel that my baby's stuck and I know what I need to do in order to get her unstuck. So I didn't have that same traumatic experience that you had. You know, it definitely is a thing, but generally speaking,
it is so rare. So don't count on it. Yeah. Like I have such a rare experience. My midwives had hundreds of births and they never had anything like me. So like moms don't make this scare you. I know that this is my experience, but I so stand by home birth. I love home births. I think they're amazing. Yes. And I really wanted to be a doula at one point before I became a stress coach. Like I was really looking into it and I would only be home birth doula. Like I wouldn't want to be a hospital doula, only home birth and like postpartum doula. I had a postpartum doula with my third one and it was just amazing. It was just
Postpartum doulas are amazing. So let's kind of take this, you know, we've talked so much about the natural birth and I love that you kind of brought up your gentle cesarean birth too, because, you know, obviously my podcast is a natural birth talk and a cesarean is not a natural birth, but you can add those beautiful natural elements into that birth, you know, where you got to, you know, you got to pick up your baby and put them straight to your chest still. Like that's so amazing. And I love that you know, natural aspect, even though it was a cesarean birth. But let's kind of switch from the natural birth to kind of that stress management that you're so good at teaching. I really want to highlight kind of what you do and give moms some tips to manage their stress during pregnancy, manage their stress during postpartum. We already kind of mentioned how that natural birth is much easier to recover from. Mm-hmm. You mentioned that. I agree completely that, you know, most of my clients agree natural birth is so much easier to recover from than a medicated birth. And so that's going to lower your stress levels and help your hormones. It helps your hormone cycle as well in the postpartum period. Surprisingly, epidurals and pain meds will shut off your hormone cycle a little bit. So you don't get that, those endorphins that help you to bond so well, that oxytocin flow that helps you to bond so well, the endorphins that keep you happy. So that hormone flow kind of being shut off, you know, in a non-natural birth or being supported through a natural birth, that makes a difference in your stress levels postpartum. Mm-hmm. We mentioned that, but tell me some more. Let's kind of backtrack and go back to pregnancy. Let's talk about some things, you know, especially if you're a mom who has a toddler already and you're pregnant. We've both been there. What are some things that you suggest, Elizabeth, that can really help moms with their stress levels and their emotional health in that time?
Yeah. So some of the stress tips to for moms, like when you're pregnant, I think one of the biggest things that is helpful definitely for me and a lot of people that I know in my circle is reducing the amount of things you have on your schedule. So yes. Like being pregnant takes a lot of you, a lot out of you. And some of us have easier pregnancy than others, but I think it's just, it takes a lot on your body. And so trying to do things, I guess, the normal way, like you normally would go about your life, in the sense of like having all these things on your to-do list, having all these commitments. I think it would be really, really helpful for moms to kind of look at some of the things on your schedule and you're like, okay, what is actually supporting me? What is good and what is not? Like, yes. Because like for me, for example, I mentioned to you this before, like I have a toddler that could go to preschool right now. I have two older kids in school, a toddler could go to preschool, and like a baby right now. And like, I choose not to send them to preschool because it would create more chaos in my day, going back and forth. It would interrupt the day even more. And for me, being a personality that easily, a person that gets easily overwhelmed, that creates extra chaos. And like, I choose not to do that. Or if you have, let's say, evening commitments, maybe this is a season to tell your older kids, like, no, this is not going to work out for us. And this, I think this tip also works really well for postpartum, even pregnant and postpartum, because like my son wanted to play football and I'm like, fall, and I'm like, I have a newborn. I just had a C-section. I understand that you really like empathize with them. Like, I see you. I understand your daddy works long hours. I have four kids. I'm just not able to do that at this stage in our life. Right. Like, and if I tried, I would overwhelm myself. I would stress myself out. I would be snappy, agitated, frustrated, and an angry mom. And I know that about myself. So I know that I need to say no to certain things. So every time you say yes to something, you're saying no to something else. If you're saying yes to all these commitments, you're saying no to rest and like, taking things easier for yourself, like spending time with your family. So just kind of like keep that in mind. I think that is like one huge thing that moms need to be aware of.
Yeah. And I think an important thing to point out is that we in our American culture, we idolize busyness. Mm-hmm. And that is a horrible thing to idolize.
Yes.
You don't have to be busy to be successful. You don't have to have your kids in every little thing. You know, you don't have to be involved in every little thing. There is so much wisdom in the traditional cultures and the cultures maybe that aren't as developed, or even, you know, some developed cultures where they just understand that rest and peace are more important than busyness. Busyness is not a life goal.
No. And like at the end of the life, like when you go back and you look, like, I don't think any of us were like, oh, I wish I was more busy. Like, it's usually like, I wish I spent more time with my family and just like focus on the things that matter. And like, even
thinking, well, what are your priorities in life? Mm-hmm. And does your life actually align with what you say your priorities are? If your priorities is like to spend time more with your kids and be more connected with them, well, guess what? Having a schedule where you're out of the house 6 evenings a week and you're constantly running late and you're so overwhelmed, you never have dinner together, like as a family, and your life seems so chaotic, like that's not really aligned to what you say you want your life to be like and what matters to you. So is it hard to say no? It probably is in the beginning, but as mm-hmm. you practice it more, it becomes easier.
So, yeah. I think that is an awesome tip in how to manage stress in pregnancy and postpartum.
Yes. Yes. This one applies to both. And like, it's not like no forever, but it's like, this is just not the right season for it. Like, what is important in this season? If you're having, you know, health struggles when you're pregnant, like then your rest is more of a priority in this season versus your kid making the football team. Like,
yeah,
in the long run, what is a lot more important? And if you are running an empty, you're overwhelmed, your health is going down the drain. Like, yeah. It's just not worth it with your son making the team. At least that's how I see it.
Yeah. Yeah, I can definitely agree. You have to weigh the benefits and the risks. And, you know, as a mom, like, I think we also often feel bad for telling our children, no, they can't do something that we know would be fun or we know they would learn from, but they don't have to learn everything in this life. They don't have to do everything in this life. And it is okay for them to be told no, even if it's something they really want to do.
Yes. Yes. The other thing I would say, like, that was really helpful for me when I was pregnant and I had other kids, was since I'm a stay-at-home mom, I don't know if a lot of your listeners are stay-at-home mom. I know a lot of mine are, but the thing was like creating quiet time in the afternoon. If you have toddlers, if you have older kids and it's summertime, like we had like kind of like not a super strict structure of our day, but we sometimes would go places in the morning, sometimes not, but every time in the afternoon after lunchtime, we had like, I even had it like a 2-hour quiet time. But I would say that is really important to just like decompress and to, for everybody in the family, not just mom, but just kind of slow down and use that time to do something that will help you feel better, which is not being on the phone. We talked about
that. That so many people want to pull out that phone in order to, quote, decompress, but staring at your phone, playing on TikTok, playing on Facebook, playing on Instagram, Snapchat, whatever, that is not actually decompressing. Your brain is not decompressing at those points. You're actually, you know, causing more tired, more stress on yourself by playing on your phone. You have to find something else to do.
Yeah. And so like the blue light from your phone will actually increase your stress hormone. And I don't know if you've ever like actually paid attention. How do you feel after being on your phone for 2 hours? I'm a lot more agitated and annoyed. Kids. I don't know about you, but that's how I feel. And usually I'm like, and I get more irritated with little things versus if I read a book, what if I just take a nap? Right? What if it at all possible with the ages of your kids, little one, what if you actually just do like a DIY, something you really enjoy? You know, how about you just listen to music? How about you do some stretching? Something actually good for you and that's going to be beneficial. You
know? Yeah. Absolutely. I completely agree with you on that one. Take that quiet time and do something calm and beneficial, not play on your phone.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And so the other thing that I think was significantly helpful for me as a mom of four is doing a little bit of prep when I was pregnant to help me with postpartum, like adjustment, things to be chaotic. One of them is like, I decluttered the house, like get rid of some of the things. So that was always in the nesting mode. That always was like super helpful for me. I don't know why. I wanted to clean everything. I wanted to clean everything. I was washing walls. I was like getting into the corners. And it's like the baby doesn't care, but I care. I want everything.
That is so, so funny that you say that because I have never scrubbed a wall in my life until like the third trimester of my most recent pregnancy. And I had 4 people over here helping me scrub walls. And no, the baby doesn't care, but I wanted it done. I wanted it done. I wanted the whole house clean and prepped so I didn't have to worry about it in the postpartum period. And it was worth the extra work in pregnancy in order for me to be able to have a more relaxing time postpartum. Because regardless of the fact that I'm a birth doula, I don't like babies.
Oh.
Oh, and I know that's so silly. I like helping moms.
Okay. Just like the first year or just like when they're little?
Yeah. I mean, the first several months at least. It just kind of depends on the baby. But I knew that about myself. I knew that having a baby was not going to be fun for me, especially if I didn't have the help and the support and if I had all these other things to stress about. So in pregnancy, I knew I just wanted to get my house clean and ready to go. So it was just one less thing I had to worry about postpartum so that I could actually try and enjoy the baby stage this time.
Yes, yes. Because like for me, I get bothered by the clutter and it me. And so I know that if like postpartum, if the house would be super cluttered and just super like just not in good shape, that would really bother me and make that actually there's studies that show it will increase your stress hormone. Like seeing it's actually stressful for your brain. It creates like mental clutter. And then when you're mentally like cluttered, you just blow up emotionally at everybody else. You're just a lot more agitated. And it comes out emotionally in negative ways. So
I mean, I can attest to that. I know the more that I have going on, like one of my struggles right now is time management. And I definitely notice that I will get more agitated about things quickly. And I'm working on figuring out schedules and just kind of planning and prepping for things like that. But I mean, that definitely makes sense. It just, you know, seeing the clutter around the house thinking, I got to clean that up. And then it just kind of explodes out of your brain when someone does one more thing to add to your plate.
Yes. Yes. And I would say like the last thing that I would really suggest to moms, if you don't want to do this, ask a friend or family member to set up an account for a meal train.
Mm-hmm.
For me, the fact that a sister-in-law set up a meal train and on my baby shower, she had people sign up. And then also she sent the link to me that I could send to the rest of my friends that she didn't know about, you know, and just having the peace of mind that for the next, 4, maybe 6 weeks, somebody's going to be bringing you meals postpartum and you don't have to think about what's for dinner or worry about overspending and eating out, you know, and just like, just that aspect, at least for me who doesn't like, I don't like cooking. I just, like, if I could hire somebody to just take one thing off my plate, I'm like cooking, like all the way, you know?
Yeah.
And just having that peace of mind was so freaking helpful. Like it, I don't know. For me, it's like the number one thing I recommend moms. And like, I'm like, if you need me to set up a meal train for you, I will do this because I think it's so extremely helpful. And just, I had meals with my last one for 6 weeks. I had meals and it was amazing. It was just awesome.
That is so awesome. And I'm going to tie that in then, tie that into, you know, 5 of the most important things that you can do for yourself in the postpartum period to help manage stress too. So one of those things is having nourishing food. And so that meal train that you can set up in pregnancy, so you can kind of, you're already taking that mental stress off your plate. Your baby's not even here yet, but you know, you're not going to have to worry about that. So that helps you de-stress in pregnancy. And then come postpartum, you don't have to worry about it. You're going to get your nourishing food without having to stress about making it.
Yeah. And you can also, like, when somebody does a meal train, you can set, like, foods that to avoid, foods that you would like to eat. And so people just kind of, like, know more. Like, if you want more soups, you can mention that. And, like, you know, with either bone broth or whatever, anything.
Yes. Right?
And, you know, especially, like, people are a lot really accommodating nowadays, you know? So, I don't know. I think that's an amazing thing.
Yeah. And, you know, so tying that into postpartum, like I said, having nourishing food, one of my rules actually this postpartum period, and I suggested to all of my doula clients was, you know, I was comfortable with anyone coming to see my baby anytime they wanted to or coming to see me. But the rule was, if you came to visit, you had to either bring me healthy food or do a chore when you were here.
Oh, I like that.
And I think that rule can take so much stress off of mama, off of the whole family, really. So my 5 tips for postpartum, and really I get them from the book, The Fourth Trimester, but I just think that they're so wise. The 5 main tips are that moms need an extended rest period. They need nourishing food, loving touch, the presence of wise women and spiritual companionship, and contact with nature. And I think an extended rest period and nourishing food are becoming pretty standard. They're becoming a lot more popular as far as suggestions for mom. So, you know, we talked about the nourishing food, create a meal train. If someone's coming over, you know, require them to bring you healthy food, or, you know, that extended rest period, you can require them to do a chore so you can rest more and not stress. As a doula, my general recommendation for all of my clients is a week in bed, a week around the house. Being respectful of the fact that cabin fever is a real thing. And if you are getting antsy being in your bed or just being in your home, it is okay to tie in that contact with nature and step outside. Sit on your front porch or open your window and look out the window, watch the birds. But you want to have that extended rest period. I think the other three, the contact with nature, the loving touch, and the presence of wise women and spiritual companionship, I think those three still get shoved under the rug and ignored.
Yeah. And I think, like, for me, having the emotional support, because things can get really overwhelming postpartum. I remember after my third one, my husband was flying as a flight attendant. I had struggles with lip and tongue tie with my my third boy. And I remember my midwife came to check in on me, and my two other boys were playing outside. Some neighbor kids were watching them, and she came in and she's like, "How are you doing?" And I just broke down and I just cried. And I'm like, it's just so hard. And just having someone there to just sit next to you, not even say anything, just hug you and just be there and listen to you. That, like, having that support was so helpful. Like, I still remember where I was. Like, I just remember how she just sat next to me. She held my hand and she just let me cry. She let me get all those feelings and emotions out. And it was so helpful. Like, I think spiritual support, like, and even having a postpartum doula, like, I had it with my third son, and it was awesome. She did housework for me. That's what I needed for. And as she was doing stuff, I was able to talk to her and, like, you know, emotionally get things out. And that was so helpful for me. So
she played two of those roles. She helped you with your extended rest period. And it sounds like your midwife and your postpartum doula were both wise women that you could talk to. Wise women who knew. And, you know, the key is kind of wise. Not all women are going to be able to just sit there and listen to you talk. You don't want them making comments like, "Well, just toughen up. You're so lucky," or whatever. Like, "I know that, but I'm stressed." Or, you know, you'd rather have a wise woman sitting there saying, "I understand how you feel," who understands the process. And so it's so important for them to just kind of sit and listen to you. And, you know, the wise woman and spiritual companionship, that's grouped in as one. And it can be one together. It can also be two separate things. For me, you know, that, you know, a lot of the wise women in my family were also my spiritual companionship, and the fact that, you know, they were able to sit and pray with me if that's what I wanted. But spiritual companionship can mean different things for different people. So you just want to find someone that resonates with you, that you can really sit and talk with, and that can really support you in that journey. Loving touch is another one that gets looked over, though. It is really traditional in a lot of cultures for other women to come into the home and massage mom daily to help with her blood flow.
What? That's awesome. I'm like, somebody please come do this to me. I would have loved that. Having a massage postpartum, like, when your body is all achy from the birth, just like rubbing your swollen feet or whatever, like, would
absolutely
have been awesome.
So normal. And often they'll come in and they'll wash your hair while you lay in bed. It's so traditional, and that loving touch is huge. And so that comes with the presence of wise women and loving touch, but just loving touch from your partner too, to just, you know, your partner can do that too. Your partner can come in and massage your feet or massage your back, or, you know, whatever it is that you need. Anyone can be that loving touch for you. Sometimes maybe you just need a hand to hold, but that connection with other people to know that you are not lost in the shuffle of having a baby to know that they see you and that they're there supporting you, that touch is so, so important.
Yeah. And I think also because like so many of us, since we're, if we're staying home, right, at least mm-hmm. we start feeling really lonely and mm-hmm. isolated, and having that support. Cause like for me, I love emotional connection and just connecting with people. And so a lot of the people that did bring me meals, about half of them, not all of them, some just dropped it off, but they would come in and they would check in with me and how I'm healing and how my birth went. And I love talking about my birth experience.
Yeah.
And like, you just need to process everything. And I'm a verbal processor. And so it was just having like people just there next to me, people that mm-hmm. I connect with, and just, it was amazing. And I think that's so important and maybe sometimes overlooked. Having that emotional yeah. support is really, really, really helpful.
Absolutely. And then for me, honestly, the biggest thing for me was contact with nature. Like, I think that really, really gets overlooked. People don't realize how important, especially in America, how important just having that contact with nature is. Like something as simple as opening your window and looking outside and watching the birds is going to give you a whole new look, a whole new look out on life. Like in that moment, you're going to, it's kind of hard to understand, but your body needs that contact with nature. Your body needs, you know, it can help with cabin fever. If you're feeling really isolated or whatever, just kind of looking outside makes you almost feel like you're in a different place than you are. My midwife yelled at me because like a week postpartum, I was sitting on my front porch, but instead of in bed, but I needed that. I needed the fresh air. I needed just that outside. I felt so much better just being outside.
Yeah. And I like add to that, like being in nature and just even sitting outside. Cause I live in a neighborhood with like townhouses, so nothing too crazy, but even with my daughter, like I had her in July, just sitting outside in a comfortable chair and just watching the trees, and my kids got to play outside, and it was nice and warm for me in that stage. But it's actually really good for your nervous system. It calms the nervous system and like calms some of those stress hormones. And it's actually really, really beneficial just being in the, like even the breeze and stuff of like, yeah, nature. And even if it's wintertime and you can't get out, just looking outside at the trees and just like looking outside, even that, like it's good mm-hmm. and it's calming for your nervous system. So I would stand by that. I think that's super important.
So yeah, completely. That's my main five tips. You know, all of these things tie so well into reducing stress in the pregnancy period, in the postpartum period. You gave us some awesome tips, which I greatly appreciate. Is there anything else you want to talk about? This is like our crossover podcast, and I definitely feel like I've kind of like been taking the lead on all of this, and I don't want to miss anything you wanted to talk about.
I think let's talk a little bit before we close. I think it would be really helpful for both sides of the listeners, talking about like some of the hormone things that happen like postpartum mm-hmm. and just like the hormone dips. I know that for me, having placenta encapsulation helped, but just like allowing yourself to have those ups and downs and just mm-hmm. giving yourself grace. Cause we oftentimes like have such high expectations of ourselves, and we beat ourselves up if we are not like doing things perfectly, and just, we want to get back to normal postpartum mm-hmm. so quickly. And I struggle with that like 100%. And like, and we put so much pressure on ourselves, and like add hormones in the mix. It just like, oh my gosh. And you're going to have emotional breakdowns and stuff. Just let's speak a little bit on that more. And I want you to kind of add more to that, because I know that you know way more about this than I do.
So I love how you said just being able to give yourself permission to have those ups and downs. You can feel really upset in a moment, but know that you're going to feel better the next day, or know that that feeling is not going to last forever. And that's so, so, so important, because 80% or so of moms suffer from the baby blues, which is the first, you know, 3 to 4 weeks postpartum, where you just have this emotional roller coaster, understandably so, because your body just went through this crazy thing. A baby has emerged from it. You're healing from a plate-sized hole in your body. You're adjusting. No matter how many kids you've had before, you're still a new mom in with every new child. You know, whether you have 8 kids or 1 kid, you've never had 9 or 2 kids before. You know, it's new no matter how many kids you've had. And so that emotional roller coaster is so normal and so common. And it's okay. It's okay because we're not supposed to get back to quote normal. I hate that our culture puts so much emphasis on that because that is not the goal anymore. Your goal is to create a new normal with your new family because it has changed. And there are certain things that can go back to quote normal. You know, if you loved yoga before, you should keep doing yoga. You shouldn't give that up because that's good for you if you loved it. But, you know, maybe you were in a book group before and you enjoyed it, but it wasn't a core of who you are. You can let that go. It's okay. And so anyway, back to that baby blues of like that emotional roller coaster. You've got hormones, your hormones are going crazy. Your nutrition, you know, probably needs a little extra support, which we're not always getting in our culture. There's a lot of body changes and healing happening, and it's okay to look at your partner and love him or her, you know, love them so much in this one moment and then be really angry at them that their nipples are useless in the next moment. That those are okay feelings to have. Those are normal feelings to have.
Resentment sometimes happens.
Yes.
Postpartum. And then when we feel resentment, we like blow up and like obviously like this whole spiral. So yes, there's a lot that comes with that. I was like, my husband's sleeping with his useless nipples. I was so frustrated at times, right? And so like just like even normalizing, it is normal to struggle emotionally postpartum. Mm-hmm. Like give yourself grace and just, you know, if you have a big blowout, you know, apologize for it later. Mm-hmm. You know, I think we all experience that, and just like being like understanding and compassionate towards yourself, I think is so, so important, and instead of like beating yourself up for it.
Yeah. And making sure you're surrounded by people who also understand and also have compassion for that. And then remembering that just because you feel awful in one moment doesn't mean you're going to feel awful forever. Yeah. Like that perspective of knowing that our feelings don't last forever is really important. Because we're all going to have that emotional roller coaster. Now, if you get into 4 weeks or more postpartum and you're still having this crazy emotional roller coaster, if your thoughts are getting really dark, if you're really struggling, like you don't know who you are anymore, you know, all of those kind of questions that pop into your head, you know, like dangerous thoughts or anything like that, then, you know, that's when you really, it's not just about stress management anymore. It's probably about postpartum depression, and you may want to look to your care provider, you know, or whoever you trust to help support you. You know, some people want to go to their OBGYN or their primary care doctor. Sometimes the pediatrician can help with this. Some people would rather go see an herbalist, go get acupuncture, things like that, whatever it is. If you're kind of reaching past that four weeks postpartum where that's still happening or it's getting worse, not better, you know, then it's not just about stress management necessarily anymore. It's kind of wanting to address things at a deeper level. But for the most part, if we can just manage our stress using a lot of the tips you and I have given, you know, given the audience, and remembering that rest, number one, I think is most important. We both kind of talked about rest so much. It's most important. If we can just tackle those things and take it a day at a time, then we're going to feel a lot better. We're going to do a lot better. We're going to be a better version of ourselves.
Yeah. Yes, I agree with you. I agree. Well, let's kind of like tell our listeners where they can find more information and connect with both of us if they want to learn more.
Yeah.
So I hang out mostly on Instagram. I am under Emotionally Healthy Legacy. I talk a lot about stress management, especially like mental stress, things that like calm our nervous system, ways to regulate emotions. And that's kind of like my big focus of my podcast. It's also under Emotionally Healthy Legacy. I do offer a free stress management call. So if you feel super heavy and overwhelmed, things are like really weighing you down, you feel like you're reacting all day long, you can connect with me and either email me or send me a message on Instagram and we can set up a free stress management call.
And that's awesome.
Yeah. And how about you, Rachel? Where can people connect with you, my listeners?
So I am on Facebook and Instagram. It's at The Natural Birth Site. Is my my handle for both of those, and then obviously the Natural Birth Talk, which is my podcast, and then I also have a YouTube channel called The Natural Birth Show, and every episode on there corresponds with that week's episode of the podcast.
Hey mama, here are the takeaways. Birth rarely goes as planned, and it's okay to feel sad if things did not go as you imagined. Talking about it will help you process it. Number two, reducing commitments in seasons of pregnancy and postpartum will significantly lower your stress hormone. Number three, when you are creating time to recharge, make sure it does not involve a blue screen. Number four, rest, nutritious foods, being in nature or looking at nature, emotional support and physical touch are both very important for postpartum period to go smoother with less stress. And the last one, it is so normal to have hormonal shifts postpartum. You are not broken if that is what you are experiencing. And you will not be able to feel normal for a little while. And that is okay. It's a season for grace. Hi, friend. Did you learn something new or found value in this episode? If so, would you stop right now and share this episode with one Christian mama friend who has young kiddos and could benefit from this message? Word of mouth is the best way to spread the word and grow this podcast. Also, if you enjoyed this podcast, would you please rate and review on Apple Podcasts so I know that this content is helpful and I can continue to create more episodes. This is really the only way for me to know that you are blessed by this podcast. I'll see you soon, my friend. God bless you.